Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
What a bit about the barriers and breaking through the barriers between the natural and the supernatural. I talk to a lot of Christians, I talk to a lot of people who are striving for God's kingdom, you know, but we don't need to strive. All of God's favor, all of God's blessing is already available to us. But there is an invisible barrier, and I believe it's much more real than what we think it is. So I want to take the next few minutes just to consider what we can do as individuals, as couples, as families, whatever it is, to break through from the natural into the supernatural. The key to it all is for us to hear and to do, that is, obey whatever Jesus tells us. Sounds easy, doesn't it? But friends, this is the realm that us as spirit-filled believers are called to walk in. Not much will happen until we break through that barrier of living in the natural to living in the supernatural. Tonight I'm going to show us how we can break through this barrier in the name of and for the glory of Jesus. You know, we're in interesting times, and this same-sex marriage thing is just one of the issues. We're Christians, Bible-believing, Bible-reading Christians, are torn about what I consider basic obedience to God's Word. Somehow or other, over the last generation or two, we have been ineffective at releasing people out of a natural mindset and into a supernatural mindset. You see, the whole purpose of the teachings of Jesus Christ was to produce his character, his attributes, and his ministry, not only in our own life, but in all the lives of those around us who dare to believe in him. Can you picture it? That God sent his Son so that his Son and his own character, his own attributes, his own ministry would be implanted into every born-again believer. It's not hard to understand, but when I look around, when I listen, when I observe, when I read, there's not too much of duplicating Jesus going on in planet Earth right now, is there? Can I be honest with that? But I dare to believe in him. When we sang that song tonight, I believe in you. I belong to you. Those words just resound in my spirit because that's the message I want to bring tonight. If we truly believe in Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One and his anointing, if we truly believe that he is the Son of God and he was sent here to redeem us from the curse of sin and death, then at least we owe him to do what he's called us to do. Amen? So the purpose and the importance of the baptism of the Holy Spirit that we read about in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 is literally to give us the power to be witnesses of Jesus. Amen? Let's have a look at that. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. I'm not a great expositor on God's Word. I don't go into deep theological meaning. I just read what God writes to us as believers, and I believe it. I've got that simple Christ-like faith. And it says, but you shall receive power, dunamis, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Has anyone had the Holy Spirit come upon them? A few of us. And you shall be my witnesses. Jesus speaking, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and the very ends, the very bounds of the earth. God's plan through His Son Jesus was on His exit from planet Earth to be at the right hand of the Father until He comes back again. Would be that Holy Spirit comes and gives us that power to be witnesses of Jesus. How many believe that Jesus is supernatural? How many believe that the Holy Spirit in our lives is the voice of God, both in us and to us? Then, friends, as we get to know Him, we begin to trust Him. As we begin to trust Him, we begin to obey Him more and more. And Holy Spirit Himself enables us to break through from a very limited, natural, logical, analytical position to one of believing faith that sees things happen supernaturally. Let's go back over that again. To know Him, to trust Him, to obey Him enables Him to enable us to break through from a very limited, natural, logical, analytical position to one of believing faith that sees things happen supernaturally. I'm in for that. And I believe it's that invisible barrier between hearing and doing that we need to confront tonight if we're going to fulfill our destiny as men and women of God. Our calling, your calling, my calling, is to represent Christ on earth. Amen? In the here and here the now, in the now. Friends, this means a constant, dedicated commitment to Christ Himself and all that He asks us to do. In John chapter 14 and verse 21, if you want to come there with me, words of Jesus as He's preparing the saints. Words of Christ. We hear them. We love them. We repeat them. But do we obey them? Jesus said, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Stop and ponder those words. He who has my commandments. Got them? Sitting on your lap. But He just doesn't leave it there. Jesus said, whoever has them and keeps them, it is he, or it is she, who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him, watch this, and manifest myself to him. That's a promise. That's a word in red. Jesus, I promise that you've not only got my commandments, but you keep them, then you're actually showing that you love me. And because you love me, my Father loves you. And because you love me and because you love my Father, I will manifest myself to you. Now come down to verse 23. Jesus answered and said, if anyone loves me, anyone's in the room tonight, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. There's not much to read between the lines, is there? We're obviously doing something that mismatches on what Jesus has promised will happen and what we're seeing or not seeing, as it may be, between the barrier of natural versus supernatural. To me, this is very clear in this statement that love for Jesus is demonstrated by our obedience to do what he says. Not about when you went to school, but obedience is an action word. Often obedience means stepping through a logical barrier that has held us back for far too long. A lot of emphasis on worship. There's so many worship songs being written today. But let us look at what the real word worship means, and it doesn't mean a nice slow song where you uplift the name of Jesus. The definition of worship is an act of obedience to the will of God. That's what Bible worship is. We can sing songs of worship. We can prostrate ourselves on the floor in worship. We can get into our prayer closet at home and worship. But are we acting out of obedience to the will of God, which is through worship? I want to illustrate this by coming back to the book of John, chapter 2, the first miracle of Jesus. I want to read the first 11 verses, and I'm just going to tease out just a little bit of this. It says, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited with his disciples to the wedding. When the wine was all gone, the mother of Jesus said to him, I have no more wine. Jesus said to her, dear woman, What is that to you and me? What do we have in common? Leave it to me. My time has not yet come. His mother says to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Sounds easy? Mary's son Jesus. Now there were 6 water pots of stone standing there. As the Jewish custom of purification, that is ceremonial washing, demanded, holding 20 to 30 gallons apiece. And Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. So they filled them up to the brim. Then he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the manager of the feast, to the one presiding, the superintendent of the banquet. So they took him some. And when the manager tasted the water, just now turned into wine, not knowing where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, he called the bridegroom. He said to him, everyone else serves his best wine first. And when the people have drunk freely, after he serves that which is not so good. But you have kept back the good wine until now. This was the first of his signs, his miracles, his wonderworks. Jesus performed in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory. By it he displayed his greatness and his power openly, and his disciples believed in him, that is, adhered to, trusted in, and relied on him. just a simple wedding ceremony. Just an easy day out. A bit to eat, a bit to drink, a little bit of a dance. Send the couple off on their honeymoon. Done and dusted. Plans went a bit haywire. They ran out of wine. What good's a wedding if you haven't got any wine? Mary wasn't going to leave it that they're out of wine. And she turns to her son Jesus and asks him what he's going to do about it. I don't read attitude in the passage, but I sense there was. Really, Mum? You want me to do something about the wine? You know who I am. She's not flustered. There was something in her spirit that connected with this Son of God's spirit, and she turns to the servants without saying any more to Jesus, and she says to them, whatever he says to do, do it. Don't think about anything else. Don't worry if it's a little bit odd. Whatever he says for you to do, do that and only that is the way I read it. Christianity can't be any simpler than that, can it? Whatever Jesus tells you to do, do it. Don't worry about what the Greek translator said, or the Bible scholar said, or the hypothesis said, or the scientist said, or the historian said, or the Greek scholar said to the Hebrew scholar. Just do what Jesus said. Do it. Now, I'll put a rider in here. If your faith is too complicated for that, here's a word of suggestion. Simplify your faith. This is a world-changing man. This is the Son of God himself. And if he can set a simple path for believers to follow, isn't that much easier to follow than a complicated path? I believe in this passage here tonight that the servants represent us, the believers. We come to Jesus like they come to Jesus. In their case, they're saying we have no wine. In our case, we might say we have no money. We have no future. We have no hope. We have no work. We have no petrol in our car. We have no relationship with our family. We have nothing. Jesus gives an illogical answer. Fill the water pots with water. Fill the what? Fill the water pots with water. To a logical thinker, what would that have to do with supplying wine at a wedding banquet, a wedding feast? I don't know whether the servants went back to Jesus and said, can you say that again? You want us to do what? The Bible doesn't record that. But at that moment, they had a choice. Just like when we go to Jesus, Jesus, I'm sick. Heal me. And he says, I want you to go down the river and wash yourself seven times. But Jesus, I've got leprosy. I want you to go to the priest. And on your way to the priest, you'll be healed. But Jesus, I'm blind in my eyes. Well, let me spit in some dirt and make some mud and put it in your eyes. Jesus is the most illogical thinker. But he's the most powerful, radical changer of circumstances and situations. The servants had a choice. Do what Jesus said, or say, really? You think we're complete idiots? And reject his request. The Bible doesn't say any of that. It says the Bible says they did what Jesus said. They filled the water pots with water. Then he told them to take that water. And this is foot washing water. This is dusty water where we've had a ceremonial wash before we come in off the dusty road before we go to the banquet. This is not fresh spring water taken from the rocks of Cana in Galilee, untouched by human hands. And they're asked to pour it out to the master of the feast so he can taste it. What would you do? Is my question. Jesus told them to do something that to the natural mind was absolutely ridiculous. He was asking them, he was actually telling them, to do something that could have totally humiliated them, embarrassed them, career-wise ruined them, before the eyes of everyone at that wedding. They asked for wine, and Jesus wants to give them foot washing water. I'll ask the question again. What would you do? You see, to me, this clearly illustrates the barrier that you and I have to battle with. Sometimes we cannot and we will not obey Jesus unlike those servants until we've really learned to recognize the voice of Jesus in whatever way it comes to us. You see, the voice of Jesus needs to come to us more than our own natural reasonings and doubts. More than the fears of what other Christians and people will think. Simply, if we love Jesus, we will obey him. You see, Jesus lives in the realm of the supernatural. If you know anything about the supernatural, there's not a fine line between the two. Supernatural is miles apart, far exceeds the realms of the natural. And far too many Christians are locked in the natural and scared to step into the supernatural. You see, our obedience to Jesus, whether it's illogical or whether it's logical, will demonstrate our love for him. Those servants in this passage chose to blindly obey what Jesus told them to do. They, by faith, took those jugs of water to the master of the wedding feast and filled his wine glass. And to their amazement, wine, not water, came out. Those men had broken through the barrier as they demonstrated by their actions their love and their obedience to Jesus. The result was a miracle. It was the first miracle that Jesus has recorded in the Bible. To me, those servants are a key link in what it takes to make it happen. Jesus is longing for us to partner with him in the working of his miracles in our day-to-day lives. Are you and I willing to do the ridiculous prophetic acts in response to his word to us? The second passage I want to look at is in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Story opens with Jesus teaching a large crowd of followers from Peter's boat. Then turns to Peter, who's been out all night fishing and caught nothing, and says to Peter, "Launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a catch." The moment Peter hears that personal challenge, his natural fisherman's expertise, his natural mind, his natural logic began to argue back at Jesus, "Master, we have toiled all night out there and caught nothing." Peter knew naturally that there were no fish out there. He'd done everything he knew to catch any fish that were available. The Bible records he stops short of arguing, and he chooses to believe Jesus. He says, "Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net." Jesus offered him nets. Peter compromised with one. He responds by pulling up his anchor, setting out from shore with his boat into the deep, and he lets down a net. You see, at that point, Peter was struggling about total obedience to Jesus. But he had partial obedience when he said, "Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net." The Bible goes on that because he did what Jesus asked him to do, by going back out to where he came, from where the natural, from where the logical, from where the analytical hadn't worked, the Bible records that he caught a huge net full of fish. So much so that he had to ask help from others to draw them in. The fascinating part of this story is that when Peter saw that simple obedience to the word of Jesus could accomplish a miracle, the Bible says he gets convicted in his heart of his own sinful ways of doing things. And he says, "I am so impacted in my life." The Bible records they forsook all and followed Jesus. That one act of obedience on Peter's part changed his life forever. It caused him to make a decision to leave behind everything and to follow Christ, the Anointed One, his anointing. Don't you think that the word of Jesus should impact us that same way too? Jesus knows exactly how to minister to us and to every human being on planet Earth. And if we could only learn to listen to him, deny our own reasonings, I believe, friends, that we will discover the joys of working together with him in the realm of the supernatural. I believe that with all my heart. You see, the difference between the natural and the supernatural is our obedience to the voice of God. That is the voice of truth. It's as simple as that. It's like stepping from the realm of theory into the realm of action. A practical act of obedience to whatever Jesus says. In 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 20, Paul records that the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. That same word power, dunamis, that's used in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, is the power capable of anything, but useless unless we release it. You see, the voice of God usually demands an action, which is demonstrated by our obedience. It's that action that takes us from the natural to the supernatural, which causes us to break through that invisible barrier that I talked about earlier. God always honors our obedience to Him. The last one I want to use as an example tonight is a summary on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5 through to 7, and we're not going to read it tonight. But he summarizes his teaching in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 24 to 29, where he talks about the man who builds his house upon the sand versus the man who builds his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the foolish man, he built his house on the sand. There's only one difference between these two men. One had success, and the other had disaster. The only difference is that the wise man did and obeyed what Jesus said to do. That was the only difference. They both heard exactly the same words from the very mouth of the same Jesus. Yet one, the foolish man, finished up bankrupt, and the other, the wise man, finished up very successful. I summarise that whole passage by obedience to Jesus is the vital difference. We come back to John chapter 2 and verse 5, where Mary says to the servants, "Whatever he tells you to do, do it." Friends, the principle has never changed. The real issues of life, the real issues of Christianity, are determined by our obedience to Jesus and what he tells us. Religion is a very poor substitute for the reality of the supernatural world of Jesus. You see, when we fail to obey Jesus, we finish up being religious and devoid of power. Religious and devoid of power. We remain locked into the realm of the natural. And the natural, friends, is always a poor substitute for the supernatural. Written here in my notes, we must face our barriers. Friends, until we are prepared to face those barriers that are stopping us from breaking through in simple obedience to the voice of Jesus, you and I will never know the joys of what we've been saved for or redeemed for. Friends, you and I have to continually develop a love for God that demonstrates itself in obedience to whatever God tells us to do. God's will, friends, is that we know the freedom and know the joy of obedience to Him. So together with Him, we can be genuine, spirit-filled witnesses of Jesus in a sin-filled and an unbelieving world. God wants to show His Son Jesus through believers just like you and I. Believers who are prepared to demonstrate their beliefs by acts of obedience to whatever God tells us to do. I want to encourage you in the gifts of the Spirit. We should respond in obedience to the promptings and the voice of the Holy Spirit within us. Recently, the Lord spoke to me, and these were the words He said, Lou, I want you to keep releasing the gifts of the Holy Spirit out of your life. For when you do, you are releasing me to set your future up for you. That's what He spoke to me about. Keep releasing the gifts of the Holy Spirit out of your life. For when I do it, I will be releasing God to set up my future for me. I'd never thought of it like that before. But when He showed me that He continues and continually opens doors for me through releasing my spiritual gifts, I started to realize how important they are. That I don't only hear what God says, but I do what I've been told to do. I'm starting to put it into practice. And the fruit that's coming through that is just amazing. I've learned, friends, that God will never ask us to do what He can't equip us to do. He never asks us to do anything that we're unable to do. But when God speaks, there's no room for excuses. And there's definitely no out clauses. It's in that point where God speaks to us that we have to decide whether or not we are going to step through that barrier and see what happens, or we're going to step back and never have that opportunity perhaps again. I want to say that God will always confirm what He's asked us to say or do. I want to add that every Holy Spirit-filled believer in Jesus Christ can break through the barrier of logic and natural reasoning into the supernatural of God. I want to say tonight that it happens when we are committed to obey whatever Jesus tells us. Are we listening? Friends, are we listening enough? Do we have a love big enough to embrace everything God's got for us? Have we got a commitment in our heart? Have we got a commitment of our heart? That whatever Jesus asks us to do, we will do it. Romans 10 and verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Once we hear, then we're obliged to respond, either with a denial, resulting in no act of obedience, or with a demonstration of obedience, showing that we trust Jesus more than anyone or more than anything else. Until that barrier between the supernatural and the natural is broken through, you and I will never know how much God really wants to use us for His glory. Friends, it's not a matter of doing it once and it'll be automatic from there on either. Each time we hear from Jesus, we are faced with the challenge to once again step through that invisible barrier and demonstrating to Him our love for Him and our love for obeying His word. We need to show Him that He comes first in our lives. I want you to be encouraged afresh today. Break through those barriers that keep you locked up in the natural, by demonstration of love and obedience to Jesus Christ. Step out of your comfort zone and see what He will do with you and see what He will do for you when you obey whatever He tells you. I declare you to be blessed conquerors of the barrier. Amen? Amen.